Would you open your Bibles with me again this evening to Psalm 23, where we will return for the message this evening. Of course, during the summers, you already know well, we do our Summer in Psalms series, and we are in Psalms this evening. It's not the next psalm in that progression. We should be up to Psalm 49 the next time we return there, but we'll be back in Psalm 23 to conclude the message that we began this morning following along our Summer Baggage series. I asked you a question as we began this morning in Psalm 23 about that idea of fear. Have you experienced fear over this past year? As you have thought back over your life, and what I mean by that is reflecting on where you're at in life right now, do you carry the baggage of fear? When you enter interactions, conversations with others, is fear something that you carry that affects you in those interactions, in those conversations, in your relationships? Is fear something that weighs you down? Yes, there are situations where an appropriate fear is the right response, but many times you and I carry fear that weighs us down so that we do not grow, enjoy, and thrive as God would have us to. At times that fear keeps us from doing what God is even leading us to do. God would have us to lay down that fear in exchange for the peace and comfort that comes from following Jesus, because as we see in Psalm 23, the Lord is our shepherd. He is the one who is undertaken to care for us in the best and in the worst of times and experiences. If you're a child of God, then you can know that Jesus is your shepherd. And no matter what it is that you go through, and no matter what it is that you experience, He is your shepherd and is undertaken, He has taken upon Himself the responsibility to care for you. And so He invites us to lay down that baggage of fear in exchange for trust in Him, because He is the one who leads, protects, provides for, and comforts us. Look in your Bibles at Psalm 23. Let's read the entire psalm again this evening. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As we did this morning, would you look back at verse number 4 and read it aloud with me all together? Psalm 23, verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." As we stepped into Psalm 23, focusing on verse number 4, If you'll recall, I asked you to consider that first part, which is the path or the places that I tread. And we were reminded that that is not speaking about the geographical places necessarily that we find ourselves in life, though certainly that would be included, but rather it deals with the experiences that we go through. All of us have experienced all that life has to offer and throw at us. All of us have had experiences in life, both good and bad. As you and I think back over the lives that we have lived, we can all think about the different places or paths that we have walked, the different experiences that we have gone through on our journey, and we can think about the good and the bad. We can think about those experiences that brought joy to our hearts. We can think about the experiences that brought sorrow to our lives. Many times, because of the places or the paths that we have already tread, those past experiences are what cause us to take fear with us as we continue on in life. We spoke about David speaking about the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death. And though we have not walked that path ourselves, it's an identification of that which is unknown. And so we thought about the different fears that might trouble us, the fear of the unknown, the fear of hurt, the fear of the broken relationship that keeps us from establishing a new relationship, the fear of a past failure that makes us fearful of taking another risk. We talked about how those experiences we can be afraid of, but many times, in fact, it is fear that keeps us from experiencing. We were reminded that our good shepherd who leads us not only leads us in verse 3 in the paths of righteousness and even earlier than that in verse 2 beside the still waters, but he's the same one who leads us in the valley of the shadow of death. And so we were challenged that wherever we find ourselves, whatever path or place we tread, to encourage ourselves in the Lord by saying to ourselves, God led me here. And then we looked at the perspective that we are to take. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not experience evil. Is that what he said? No. David did not go through life. In fact, at the point that he would have penned this psalm, he had already experienced evil in his life. That which would cause harm, or we might just label as misfortune or bad luck, or even that which would attempt to destroy him. David had already experienced many of those things in life, many experiences like that. David here was not looking to the Lord as his shepherd to actually take him out of every experience of evil, but rather David determined that he would not fear in recognition of his good shepherd, of the Lord who is a shepherd. David recognized that he might experience evil. He might go through some bad situations, but he had determined not to fear. We were reminded that Jesus said over and over again to his followers to fear not. Jesus said to all of his followers during his Sermon on the Mount that we're to take no thought, in recognition that God gives us enough grace so that we can deal with life one day at a time. In recognition of the reality that God loves us and nothing, including life or death, can separate us from His love. We can determine as David did. We can take that same perspective that David took. That regardless of the path or the place I tread, I do not need to fear evil. I can live without fear. But the final question we posed as we concluded this morning was the question, was this because of David's own resources? Is it because of the strength that I have in and of myself? Is it because of what I have within me of myself that I can take this perspective regardless of the paths or the places that I tread? As David continued to pen in Psalm 23 verse 4, he gave the basis of his confidence. So we move on from the path that I tread and the perspective that I take to number three, notice with me, the presence I trust. The presence I trust. Look back at verse number four. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the path I tread, I will fear no evil, the perspective I take. Notice the next phrase and read it aloud with me. For Thou art with me. Again, for Thou art with me. This is the presence that I trust. David was able to take that perspective. I will fear no evil. It wasn't because David was trusting in his own strength. It wasn't because David was depending upon his own resources, but because David knew that the shepherd who had undertaken to care for him in the best and the worst of times would be present with him at all times. Now notice once again, just as David did not say that he would never experience evil, he also did not say that he trusted God to remove him from the evil. That's not what he said. Again, sometimes we can practically live like our thinking is, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not experience evil. We may not say that. We may not verbalize it, but sometimes the way we practically think and live, that is our mentality. If I'm a child of God who has believed on Jesus Christ to be my Savior, and if I am following God in obedience in my life, then I'll not experience evil. But in those situations where we come into a place of evil, when we come into that place that is a bad time or a bad situation of life, we might take this perspective. Surely God will remove me from the evil. I'm looking to God and I'm trusting God and I'm even begging God, God, change this situation. God, I am in this situation, and from a human perspective, this is the outcome. This is the likely outcome of this situation. And God, if you're my shepherd, and I believe that you are, then certainly what I am looking at to be the possible likely outcome will not be the likely possible outcome. You're going to change it somehow. Does God do that? At times He does. But are there times when you get into a situation and the outcome that you perceive to be the likely outcome that is not a great outcome, that is maybe even what you're fearful of being the outcome, that that is still the outcome. David didn't say, I'll never experience evil. Nor did David say, I trust God to remove me from that evil that I don't fear. But rather, he recognized that his shepherd who led him would now move alongside him and be with him. Why did David not fear evil? Not because he would never experience evil. Not because he trusted necessarily that God would remove him from every possible experience with evil in his life. He was determined not to fear evil because he knew even in that experience God would be present with him. We read from Psalm 139 this morning, and I'll ask you to consider how David expanded the statement, for thou art with me, in Psalm 139. Look at verses 7 through 12 of Psalm 139 with me. David writes these words, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy right hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the night are both alike to thee. Do you see how David expands upon the statement of Psalm 23:4, for thou art with me, as David writes these words? He writes about the truth that there is nowhere he could go. There is no experience he could ever have. He could be in no situation in life, in any place, where God was not present with him, where God was not leading him, where God was not beside him. He even says there in Psalm 139, verse 10, thy right hand shall hold me. Right there beside of them. David speaks in verse number 8 of Psalm 139 about ascending into heaven. In the original, that's plural, the heavens, anything that's above. If he made his bed in hell, the place of the dead, from the lowest depth to the highest height, and everywhere in between that he could go, God would be there. And David also understood, again here in Psalm 139, verse 10, that wherever he would go, between the lowest depth and the highest height possible, and anywhere in between, not only that God was there, but, verse number 10, God led him there. And that one who led him there would also be right beside him. David expected that wherever he was and whatever he was facing, the Lord who is the shepherd would be there with him. He had no room in his mind whatsoever to believe that his shepherd would ever leave or abandon him. Who is our shepherd? And what has he promised us? Listen to our own shepherd's testimony recorded in John 10, verses 11 through 15. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Who is our good shepherd and what has he committed to us? Our good shepherd is none other than Jesus. And he has committed himself so deeply to his sheep that he would lay down his life for them. And in fact, he already has. So consider the baggage of fear that you carry and ask yourself, why? Why do you carry the baggage of fear into relationships? Why do you carry the baggage of fear into new experiences? Why do you carry the baggage of fear into the doctor's office? Why do you carry the baggage of fear into the unknown? Why do you carry the baggage of fear into that conversation or interaction with another individual? Here's the answer. When you and I carry the baggage of fear in our lives into our different experiences, we carry that baggage of fear because we are more focused on our circumstances or our context than we are focused on our companion. When you carry the baggage of fear into the unknown, when you carry the baggage of fear so that the fear of tomorrow costs you today, when you carry the baggage of fear from a past failure that keeps you from taking another risk, when you carry the baggage of fear about hurt because of hurts that you've experienced in the past, when you carry the baggage of fear that keeps you from establishing new relationships because of broken relationships from the past, you carry that baggage of fear because you are more focused on your context and your circumstances than you are focused on your companion. I cannot pretend to know and understand all the paths that you have been called to tread. I have not had all the experiences that you have had in this life or that you are having right now. But our good shepherd knows all about them. You cannot tread a path that he does not know about. He has committed himself to you so that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never abandon you. If it were necessary, he would lay down his very life for you. In fact, he already has. Nothing can truly and enduringly harm you because you belong to him and are in his care. Even as you walk through life's hardest days and experiences, he is there walking with you. Truly, you do not walk alone. If you would lay down the baggage of fear in exchange for the peace and comfort that comes from following Jesus, turn your focus from the context and the circumstances to your companion. Say not only, God has led me here, but also encourage yourself in the Lord by saying to yourself, God is with me here. The presence I trust. We've examined the path that I tread, the perspective I take, the presence I trust. Now let's meditate finally on the provision I treasure. Look with me at verse number 4 again of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Read the rest aloud with me, would you? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is the provision that I treasure. Think with me about the rod and the staff for just a moment. The rod and the staff here is a reference to two unique implements of the shepherd, or one implement that had two unique purposes or applications. You might jot down that the rod identifies that which is used for defense. In that day, a shepherd that was a good shepherd, which Jesus declared himself to be, used the rod as an implement to defend his flock and his sheep against the attack of wild animals that would appear to take and devour the sheep. As Jesus noted in John chapter 10, the one who is the hireling doesn't put himself out there like that. When the wild animal or the thief appears, the hireling flees for his own safety, but the one who is a good shepherd remains and puts himself between his sheep and the danger and uses the rod to defend his sheep, willing even to lay down his own life for the sheep. The staff identifies that which is used for correction and guidance. The shepherd who is a good shepherd would use that implement to guide his sheep in the way that they should go, or to correct the sheep when they got out of the way, when they determined to take their own path, when they determined not to follow the shepherd's direction. The shepherd would use that staff to lovingly and graciously correct the sheep to bring them back into the path that they should be on. Both of these implements, the rod for defense, the staff for correction and guidance, provide a measure of safety and security to and for the sheep. Thus, they comfort the sheep. That word comfort carries the idea of bringing peace. In that situation that could be a cause for great distress, that could be a cause of fear, that could be that situation that would bring destruction or misfortune, what we might term bad luck, the good shepherd is there, and by his rod for defense and the staff for guidance and correction, he is able to provide comfort to bring peace and help to the sheep. Comfort. When I think about the purposes of the rod and staff, I am reminded of the need of them in my own life. Have you had experiences where the enemy or a thief showed up and attempted to destroy and devour you? Does the Bible not tell us that we have an enemy who does just that? He seeks to destroy all that God has for you, all that God has planned for you. He aims to steal all the blessings and the provision that God makes available to you. But the Bible declares that the shepherd, the Lord who is my shepherd, who has undertaken to care for his sheep, places himself between the sheep and that enemy, places himself between the sheep and that thief, willing to defend his sheep even to the extent of laying down his life for the sheep. And even as Satan was victorious at one time in stealing everything that God offered humanity, that good shepherd has already laid down his life to bring restoration and renewal. And he'll continue to do that on a day-by-day life basis in your life. There are times in my own life, as I'm sure you can relate to, that I don't know where to go or turn. I don't know what direction to take. And there are times when I even wander out of the way. I need the shepherd's direction and the shepherd's correction. And Jesus provides both. He is there to defend me, but he is also there to guide me and to correct me. The primary source of Jesus' protection, direction, and correction is found in the infallible, timeless truths of his word, the Bible. Like the rod and staff, Jesus' word offers protection from the assault of the enemy, offers direction to me when I do not know where to go or which way to turn, and offers correction to me when I wander out of the way. In his grace, his mercy and love, He has provided all that I need to face every experience without fear of evil. And I am comforted as I consider, live in the knowledge of, and apply these truths. These truths that no matter what path I tread, I can take the perspective that I'll fear no evil. Why? Because of the presence that I trust. I have a companion that is greater than any circumstance or context that I find myself in. Because of the provision I treasure, He has every resource needed to protect, direct, and correct me when I need it. And whether it's protection, direction, or even correction that I need, these all bring comfort to my life. And so the Bible truth is this: I can live without fear, even in a world that is dominated by fear. I can live laying down the baggage of fear in exchange for the peace and comfort that comes from following Jesus. Did you know that our brains produce chemical reactions to fear? It's part of your biological and chemical makeup. Researchers tell us that and I might destroy these terms, so forgive me, but the amygdala is a part of the brain that activates when we sense a threat stimulus and prompts the body to have a physical response, like the release of stress hormones and our sympathetic nervous system. So when you're in a situation that should create a sense of fear, that part of the brain actually creates that. The hippocampus is closely related to the amygdala and helps our brains interpret the threat so that we see whatever it is, and it helps us interpret that threat. So take, for example, you're in a situation where you come face to face with a wild lion. Have you ever been in that situation? Maybe I should ask this. Have you ever been to a zoo? How many of you have been to a zoo? Did you go see the lions at the zoo? Were you closer to that lion in that situation than you would ever dream of being if you were out on a safari in Africa? Were you afraid in that situation? You're at the zoo, and maybe you go to visit the lions, and literally you are this far from being face to face with a lion. And yet you weren't very scared at all. Why? Likely, there was a very thick piece of glass that was separating you from the lion. And seeing the lion in that perspective and in that situation relieved any sense of fear that you would definitely have if you were somewhere in Africa and you were face to face with the lion this closely without anything in between you. The reality is that your perspective changes your response, doesn't it? How you see and how you view and how you experience changes your response. Do you understand, friends, that tempering that makes the difference between those two situations is exactly what our faith in God is supposed to do? Our faith in God is supposed to operate as a grid through which we view fearful events or circumstances. But our faith in God reigns in our response with the knowledge that my good shepherd is with me. My good shepherd has that rod and staff, the resources that no matter what my situation, no matter what my circumstances or context, I will fear no evil because I am looking at my circumstances and context not in and of themselves, but through the glass with the understanding that I have a companion walking beside me who is greater than these circumstances, who is greater than this context. And He has every resource needed to protect, to direct, and to correct me. So I can confidently say, God led me here. But beyond that, God is with me here. And knowing that God is with me, the presence I trust, with the resources that I need, the provision that I treasure, I do not need to fear. I can lay down the baggage of fear in exchange for the peace and comfort that comes from following Jesus. And today, that's exactly what God invites us to do. To lay down that baggage. To experience that peace and comfort that comes when I stop focusing on my circumstances and context and start focusing on my companion and what He provides to me. I can lay down my fear in exchange for confidence in the One who leads, protects, provides for, and comforts me. And so again, the question for each of us today is, will we lay down the baggage of fear today? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this evening? And for just a moment, as we did this morning, I'll not draw it out this evening, but perhaps, again, God has spoken to your heart about the baggage of fear and the need in your life to lay it down. If God is speaking to your heart, would you even now encourage yourself in the Lord by saying to yourself, God has led me here. And beyond that, God is with me here. I have a companion that together with His resources to protect, direct, and correct me is greater than any circumstance or context that I experience. I will trust Him rather than living under the weight of fear. I'm going to ask Darylin to begin to play right now, and if God is working in your heart, would you respond as He leads? Cry out to the Lord in your heart. Come and jot that fear down on one of these cards and drop it in the baggage as your commitment to lay down the baggage of fear this evening.